Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Abolition Geography Essays, Towards Liberation is a collected volume of essays by Ruth Wilson Gilmore, a leading geographer, prison abolitionist, and organizer associated with critical work on racial capitalism, incarceration, and social movements. Published by Verso and edited with an introduction by Brenna Bonder and Alberto Toscano. The book gathers writings from more than three decades, rather than presenting a single linear monograph. Its genre is best understood as political theory, critical geography, and movement analysis. Gilmore examines prisons, policing, state power, and uneven development through a spatial lens, arguing that carceral systems cannot be understood only as products of individual prejudice or isolated criminal justice policy. The purpose of the collection is to show how abolition names a broader struggle over the organization of life, land, resources, and public institutions. It offers readers conceptual tools for connecting everyday abandonment, racialized violence, and collective efforts to build material conditions for freedom. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, abolition as a spatial project rather than simple decarceration. A central idea in abolition geography is that abolition cannot be reduced to closing prisons or lowering incarceration numbers, although those aims remain important. Gilmore treats abolition as a spatial and social project, meaning that it concerns how people live, move, receive care, access resources, and inhabit places. This approach shifts attention from the prison as an isolated institution to the broader landscapes that make imprisonment appear necessary. If communities are deprived of housing, schools, healthcare, safe employment, and environmental protection, then policing and incarceration become state responses to conditions that the state helped produce. Gilmore therefore asks what forms of social organization would make cages obsolete, not merely how existing cages might be administered more humanely. This distinction matters because reform can leave the underlying geography of deprivation intact. Abolition, in her framing, requires building institutions and relationships that redistribute life chances. But freedom becomes a material condition embedded in place, not only a legal status or ethical ideal. Secondly, organized abandonment and the anti-state state. Gilmore uses the idea of organized abandonment to explain how state power can operate through withdrawal as well as intervention. The state does not simply disappear under neoliberal governance. Instead, it relocates resources away from social provision while expanding coercive functions such as policing, surveillance, detention, and border control. The related concept of the anti-state, state names this contradiction public authority presents itself as smaller or more market-oriented while actively managing crisis through punishment and neglect. This framework helps explain why communities can experience both underinvestment and intense state presence at the same time. Schools close, hospitals shrink, public housing deteriorates, and environmental harms persist, while police budgets and prison infrastructure remain politically protected. The point is not that abandonment is accidental. It is organized through budgets, land use decisions, legal rules, and administrative choices. Gilmore shows that abolitionist analysis must therefore study public finance, planning, and institutional design. Because violence is produced not only at the moment of arrest, but also through the long preparation of social vulnerability. Thirdly, racial capitalism as the structure behind carceral expansion, the essays place prisons and policing within racial capitalism, a framework that treats race and capitalist development as historically intertwined rather than separate forces. Gilmore moves beyond explanations that attribute mass incarceration only to prejudice, crime rates, or narrow criminal justice policy. She asks how crises of land, labor, finance, and governance create populations treated as surplus and places treated as disposable. In this view, prison expansion is not a policy error that can be corrected by technical reform alone. It is connected to wider arrangements that sort people and territories according to profitability, political power, and racialized vulnerability. The analysis is especially important because it links urban disinvestment, rural prison construction, labor market change, and fiscal policy into a single field of inquiry. This does not mean that every prison is explained by one cause. Rather, Gilmore demonstrates that carceral growth emerges from converging crises. Her method shows why abolitionist politics must confront economic organization, not only sentencing law or police conduct. Fourthly, scholarship grounded in organizing and movement strategy, abolition geography is not only a theoretical collection. It reflects Gilmore's work as a scholar and as a participant in abolitionist and environmental justice organizing. This dual position shapes the essays in important ways. The arguments are not detached descriptions of oppression. They are designed to help movements identify targets, understand institutional power, and avoid strategies that reproduce the systems they oppose. Gilmore gives sustained attention to grassroots organizing because abolition depends on collective capacity rather than individual moral clarity alone. Movements must map who controls resources, how decisions are made, and where alliances can be built across affected communities. This emphasis also prevents abolition from becoming a purely symbolic stance. The book treats organizing as a form of knowledge production, where campaigns reveal how prisons, budgets, land, and race are connected in practice. For readers, this provides a model of engaged scholarship that neither abandons analytical rigor nor treats academic theory as separate from political work. Knowledge is evaluated by how well it clarifies conditions and expands practical possibilities. Lastly, internationalist imagination and freedom as material infrastructure. Gilmore consistently resists treating United States prisons as an isolated national problem. The collection draws on internationalist thinking to connect abolition with broader struggles against militarism, colonial legacies, racialized borders, austerity, and uneven development. This global orientation matters because carceral logics travel across institutions and regions. Policing, detention, surveillance, and abandonment often appear in different forms, but respond to similar political questions: who is protected, who is contained, and whose life is considered expendable. Internationalism also expands the meaning of freedom. Gilmore does not present liberation as an abstract future achieved after prisons vanish. Freedom requires material infrastructures such as housing, healthcare, education, environmental repair, mobility, and collective control over resources. The geographical language of the book makes this point concrete. Places can be organized to isolate, exhaust, and punish, or they can be reorganized to support shared life. This is why the essays emphasize imagination without becoming utopian in a vague sense. The task is to identify existing capacities and redirect them toward life-sustaining institutions. In conclusion, Abolition Geography is most useful for readers who want a rigorous account of prison abolition that reaches beyond slogans, policy checklists, or narrow debates over criminal justice reform. Scholars in geography, sociology, legal studies, ethnic studies, political theory, and urban studies will find a dense but valuable framework for connecting incarceration to land, labor, public finance, and racial capitalism. Organizers and politically engaged readers will benefit from the way Gilmore links analysis to strategy, especially her insistence that abolition requires building life-sustaining institutions rather than only opposing harmful ones. The book can be challenging for readers new to critical geography because it assumes comfort with structural analysis and movement history, but its difficulty reflects the complexity of the problems it addresses. Compared with many books on mass incarceration, it stands out by refusing to treat the prison as a self-contained policy failure. Compared with more abstract abolitionist theory, it remains grounded in concrete questions of place, infrastructure, budgets, and organizing. Its distinctive contribution is the claim that freedom must be produced spatially and materially. For anyone seeking to understand why prisons persist and what abolition demands in practical terms, the collection offers a demanding but unusually generative conceptual map. If you would like to support Ruth Wilson Gilmore, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.